it would make only 9 able to stay open.
Right. Well, they dropped from 52 to 19. There's only 19 left in the state right now.
And now if this passed through the Supreme Court, if we went into the Supreme Court, as with many of the big decisions coming up, and split, because we have equal amount of conservatives versus liberals, which is very, very interesting how they split 5-3, it then goes back to the original decision of the Texas courts. But because we have the Supreme Court siding on the opposite of what Texas voted, we now have a new decision. And I mean, this is very, very, very huge. Because if this happened in Texas, I wouldn't be surprised if this continued across the United States.
Yeah.
The biggest argument was that it is this undue burden. That was the buzzword.
Which it is.
With what was going on here. The fact that you have somebody maybe in southern Texas that would now have to drive 18 hours and stay overnight just to get an abortion. And we had this argument on the show and saying, well, this is what happens in Idaho or many of these states that are large but don't have the ability to have multiple abortion clinics.
Right.
I think they made the right decision here because you can't. I feel like you were on the opposite side of this, saying that most of these, it would just be like you used the comparison to if you had foot surgery. As everywhere that has foot surgery should be accustomed to or in equipped as an outpatient surgical facility.
Yeah, but that's a different, that's an invasive, I mean, abortion is an invasive procedure, mm-hmm. but not to the same level that surgery is.
Yeah.
You know, no, my position on these rules has been that this is ridiculous, that this was a bunch of clever legislators sitting around looking for a way
and
to
that's what it is.
Shut down abortion clinics.
Exactly.
And
but it's not written that way. I mean, it's but it's not written down and saying they're saying we care about women and we don't want you to have a botched abortion. No, it's all you people in Texas that don't believe in abortion and found a really sneaky way to get around it.
They say
that's exactly what it was.
They say it's a women's health bill.
Yeah.
And you know, let me tell you know what's good for women's health? Access to abortion.
Mm-hmm.
That's really good for women's health, and that should be available. No, because I predicted that the Supreme Court was likely going to throw this out. I think that was before we lost
Scalia.
I'm not surprised that Kennedy jumped over on this.
But that's what's so interesting. You know, when Scalia died, and knowing what was coming up in the end of June, where we are right now, and all of these big cases that the Supreme Court is facing, we said instantly after he died, we need somebody in there. We need somebody to split this 4-4, because what you're going to have is all these cases going in, and then just a decision is going to go back down to where it originally started. That is what's so interesting. We had a 5-3 split. So you're now possibly going to see them maybe either siding with one way or another, not having a split.
By the way, I need to apologize to Justice Samuel Alito and his family, friends, anybody who cares about him, for continually saying that he is the one that died. He's alive and well. It's a mental block thing. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is that every time I mean to say Scalia, Alito just comes out. So
yeah,
I'm sorry if I've caused any undue stress to anybody. Samuel Alito is alive and well.
Mm.
And this is WMFO Medford. You know what's really annoying about me not getting that Red Cross thing is it's here on my list. It's here on my list. Except I had it under pool safety poster. Because I forgot the Red Cross connection. Kellogg's.
Ooh, people aren't eating as much cereal. Kellogg's,
yes.
Their sales were actually only down 1% in recent reports. And they are now trying to change people's taste, so they're creating new products. They also own Progressive Soup. They're going into Greek yogurt. But yeah, they're trying to change the whole cereal
game. I'm looking for something very specific that they're doing. This is a big story because the General Mills.
It was this
Mills,
afternoon. I read.
Yeah, the General Mills story was this afternoon, which kind of overshadowed.
Was
this.
It General Mills that only had the 1% drop in sales?
No, their sales were off by 13%. So you got the sales drop correct, but they're doing something very specific.
I don't think I read that much of the article. Go on.
To try and get Americans excited about cereal again, Kellogg's has partnered with Christian Tosi, the owner of the Milk Bar Bakeries in New York and Washington, D.C. And on July 4th, will open a cafe in Times Square.
No, I knew this.
Serving breakfast cereal all day long. But not just any breakfast cereal.
Is it the Kellogg Cafe or
it's
something?
It's going to be called the Kellogg Cafe. And you can get frosted flakes with toasted pistachios, lemon zest, and thyme. Ice cream topped with Rice Krispies and matcha powder. And you can get...
Stupid matcha. Everybody says that's so good for you. Stupid.
And you get a 12-ounce container of milk with every bowl that you buy. So this is the next time you're down in New York. There's going to be the big Kellogg's joint to go along with the big Hershey's joint and the big M&M's joint.
I mean, Derek, I can't explain to you the feeling of having, because you can't, I don't know if anybody else is like me, any of our listeners, but when I eat cereal, I eat it in a giant mixing bowl. There's such a good feeling with a big spoon and use half of the milk. I like the soggy cereal.
But you know what it is? You're going back to childhood. When you were a child, although they were the same size that they are today, bowls and spoons seemed much larger because you were much smaller. So when you get out the big bowl and the tablespoon.
So now I use a spatula.
Yeah. You're going back to that childhood thing where it's like
I'm just trying to keep the proportions correct.
This spoon is so huge and I'm the same way. Like, you give me a pint of ice cream and I'm like, give me a tablespoon. I have no use for a teaspoon anymore.
Almost borderline going the gourmet with the thyme and the whatnot. I'm sure there's going to be not just milk. It's going to be soy milk, almond milk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, all that fancy stuff.
I will have a report on this before the end of the year. If I get down to New York again in October, I will make a point of going to the Kellogg's Cereal Cafe.
All right. Diet Pepsi.
Diet Pepsi is returning to aspartame as a sweetener despite the quote-unquote health problems with aspartame. They're actually coming out with three different versions of Diet Pepsi. There's going to be the current Diet Pepsi, which is sweetened with Four Loko, or I forget what the stuff is called.
Is that still legal? It's on the market?
It's Four Loko.
Yep.
Stevia, I think, is in the new one. They're going back to aspartame for another one, and then the third one is going to have some completely different...
It's aspartame and Ace K.
Ace K. That's what I meant when I said Four Loko was Ace K.
It's going to be called Diet Pepsi Classic Sweetener Blend. If that's not a mouthful
Boy.
In itself. Yeah,
honey,
sure.
Honey, you know what I'm in the mood for? Diet Pepsi Classic Sweetener Blend. Have we got any of that?
Can I get a Captain Diet Pepsi Sweetener Classic Blend?
Do you make your Moscow Mule with Diet Pepsi Classic Sweetener Blend?
It'll be offered in 12-packs, 2-liter bottles, and 20 ounces. So they actually changed also the logo for Diet Pepsi Max because people were getting confused and not understanding that Diet Pepsi Max had zero calories. Right. So it's going to be Diet Pepsi Zero Calorie Max.
I thought it was
going
to be Diet Pepsi Sugar Free or like Zero Sugar or something like that.
So they're doing, aspartame back in the game.
Can you tell me when the Roman Coke became a Cuba Libre?
No.
No one can. It's just this thing that happened overnight.
I think there's mint in the Cuba Libre.
There's lemon in a Roman Coke. I don't know. Is there mint in a Cuba Libre?
No, we're going to look up the recipe.
There's mint in everything else that they make. Because there's mint in the mojito. Pool safety poster. We talked about that. I got it wrong.
You got that one.
Glass slide.
Glass slide?
Yes. I'll be stunned if you missed this. This was everywhere on Monday.
You can't do that. You can't say, I'm giving you a softball. This is so easy.
This is. This was front and
glass
top. Glass slide of every publication. You couldn't avoid this thing.
See, it's always the obscure ones I get.
This isn't obscure.
No. I always get the obscure ones. I never get the easy ones. I don't know. I know once you say it, I'm going to be like, stupid.
This is the sky slide at the U.S. Bank Tower in Los Angeles, 1,000 feet above the ground, made out of bulletproof glass.
Didn't hear this.
How did you miss this?
I don't know. Apparently, I was sleeping, living under a rock.
It's still on the front page of CNN, down in the news and buzz thing. So it is a completely glass slide so that it looks like there's nothing next to you or nothing under you.
Mm-hmm.
And you slide 45 feet down this piece of glass, 1,000 feet above Los Angeles.
Really?
And everybody's like all freaked out about it. They're like, oh, it's the scariest thing ever. I'm looking at this. I'm like, I'd do that.
Now, where is it? At the bank?
It's at the U.S. Bank Tower in Los Angeles. Recently opened. It is the tallest building west of the Mississippi River.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Now, did they just put it in there for entertainment purposes?
Yeah, they put it in there basically to be a tourist attraction. Go up to the top, take a ride on the glass slide if you dare.
Do you slide down on any sort of mat or what?
Yeah, they give you a mat so that you can slide a little more easily. Mm-hmm. But in terms of what you're seeing, the glass on either side is almost perfectly transparent. And the first time I looked at it, I was like, is there even glass there?
It's crazy.
And I would imagine when you're on it, you don't really see the glass underneath you either. So it's sort of like you're floating over Los Angeles. And if you have vertigo or a fear of heights, this is going to be a very unpleasant experience for you.
Yeah, it sounds... I would do it.
I'd do it. I would absolutely do it. But yeah, this was... Everybody had this. There's video of it all over the place. And it's like when you watch the video, you're like, well, it's a 45-foot slide. That's not that much. Mm. You're off the thing in like 15 seconds.
I'd do it. All right, last one for you. Pat Summitt.
Pat Summitt, the winningest basketball coach in United States history, passed away on Monday at the age of, I believe, 62?
64.
64, far too young after a decade-long battle with Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had 8 national titles in 38 seasons, winning more than any games in any other Division I coach, male or female. 2012 was awarded by President Obama with the Presidential Medal of Freedom. So that's a nation's highest civilian award. If you read any, you know, and especially growing up in sports, I always knew this names in going through my college years. Read some of the stories on her and what she did as a coach. She would, you know, in the 70s, when there was very, very little respect for women's sports, she would take the uniforms of her players and wash them at her own home and bring them back. And this was a true pioneer of women's sports, especially in collegiate. So, yeah, they definitely lost a star.
I think she only lost something like fewer than 79 games. Mm-hmm. In her career, like 20-year career, lost 79 games. Unbelievable.
Quite the woman.
Unbelievable. And, you know, everyone will make the argument, well, it's college basketball. And, college basketball is hard because you don't know what you're getting from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to have that kind of a record of success says something more about...
That's the coaching.
The coaching and the system and what the coach brings to the game than it does about the level of talent...
100%.
Of course, when you're that good and you win that much, all the best players in the country want to come play for you. So maybe 5 or 6 years in, you get an edge out of it. But yeah, it's sad. She also did a heck of a lot to raise awareness about Alzheimer's after she retired and after she was diagnosed. So all around, great American. If you didn't read up on her yet, go do that. Okay, one last one for you. I could go with poo on the rug, but... I think you read that one earlier this week.
I did.
That's the Russians are harassing our
American
our diplomats. Somebody broke into a diplomat's house and took a crap on the rug. I didn't know they taught that in spy school, but I guess they do now. So we'll continue with the theme, Buddy Ryan. Buddy Ryan. Oh, come on. Oh.
I know the name.
Yes. I'll give you points for naming one of his kids.
Rex Ryan?
Yes. And then the other one would be...
Not Mike.
No. The one that's still fat. Because he didn't get his stomach stapled. He looks a little bit like a younger Wild Bill Wachowski.
I know, I'm trying to think what he did. Or I saw in the news. What is it?
Buddy Ryan? Died at the age of 82 after a long battle with cancer. Buddy Ryan, in addition to being the father of Rex and Rob Ryan, who are now both coaching the Buffalo Bills, was considered one of the great defensive coaches of all time in the National Football League. He created the 46 defense, which basically jams the line with a whole bunch of pass rushers and splits off safeties onto the edges. So you got four guys in the box and then two on the edges on the line. And it's very effective at disrupting passing, as the New England Patriots learned in the 1985 Super Bowl when we lost to a Buddy Ryan defense with the Chicago Bears. So
the Bears.
At the age of 82, we got to watch out for this now, because the Ryan brothers are going to be playing for Dad's legacy all season long. And we got Jimmy Garoppolo starting four games.
Yeah.
Ugh. Not what we're looking for. 617-627-3800 is the telephone number. What?
That's not the number.
It's not the telephone number.
Don't call that number.
Do you know how many years I've been saying that? How many years have I been saying that?
You know how long it took me.
Yeah. It's not even 815. 815. See, you're doing this to me. This is you. This is you getting into my head.
I'm a pest.
855-915-WMFO. Write that down. So I don't have to say it anymore. 815-915-WMFO. That's 855. I said 815 again. 855-915-9636. 815-915-9636. That is the number to call.
Didn't you say in the beginning of the show, it's so easy?
That is the number to call. It is easy, because it's 915-WMFO. It's the 855 I can't keep straight. Right? Stop this. Stop. I'm never gonna get to the next segment. If you don't stop. That's our new number. Call that. We talk to you. Great things happen while you're on the radio. Super exciting. See, I'm just completely like off my game now. I'm totally lost in this. It is The Big Picture. It is WMFO Medford on the Tail with Mikey D is coming up at 9 o'clock tonight with everything you need to know about the Boston music scene. When we come back, Brexit. It happened. The world ended, and yet somehow we are still here. We'll try and get to the bottom of that right after some patriotic music here on WMFO Medford.
What do they know? No, no. Go to work in some high rise and vacation down at the Gulf of Mexico. Oh, yeah. And there's winners and there's losers. But that ain't no big deal. Cause a simple man, baby, pays the thrills, the bills, the bills that kill.
Ranger station.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a bear sighting in the forest.
Uh-huh.
1 second, I'm having a smoke. Next thing I know, I'm face-to-face with Smokey Bear.
Wow.
And he told me it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
Did you know 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans?
I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous and you're not. Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
When you get bumped on a racetrack, the key is to stay in control.
NASCAR legend Rusty Wallace.
Same goes for the highway. That's why professional truck drivers need to buckle up every trip, every time. Your safety belt can keep you in position behind the wheel and in control, looking out for yourself and everybody else. That's what a professional driver does. So be ready, be buckled, and remember, you're the professional, the one who drives for a living.
A public service message from the U.S. Department of Transportation.
WMFO Medford, this is The Big Picture. He's Derek Gary and I'm Lisa Nichols. As always, here with you on Wednesday night, 7 to 9. Give us a call at 855-915-WMFO. Again, that's 855-915-9636. And one thing that I'm more superior than Derek Gary is that I can say our new number correctly.
James Brown, Lord have mercy.
I you know what? I was having a not so great day, and after watching you multiple times tonight dance...
James Brown, you have to dance. You can't not. They should throw out that 1812 stuff and just play this.
Right?
And then have the fireworks start.
Fireworks.
Can we get the Boston Pops to play Living in America? Come on.
Yeah. Well, you know who is dancing? All those people on Thursday that voted to leave the European Union in Britain.
Nigel Farage, he's dancing. He's dancing a lot.
They're doing a lot of dancing because Britain voted to leave the European Union, and, you know, how and when, what's going to happen in the future, what's going on, so many questions, we don't know. This is where we're at this point. Thursday afternoon, they voted to stay, or the Remain group, or leave, and look what prevailed. Also, day after, we had Prime Minister David Cameron, he resigned, or said he was going to. So on September 9th, Britain will now have a new prime minister.
So last Wednesday night was the eve of the vote. And
we talked about it on the show. Kind of gave you some information on what it's all about.
We talked about it and made our predictions. Lisa said that Remain was going to win. I said I expected Leave would win by a nose. Wound up being a little bit more than a nose. 51.9% to 48.1%. So that's about almost a 2% margin in favor of getting the heck out of town. Well, no, it's almost a 3% margin, actually, in favor of getting the heck out of town. And, of course, the next day, the world imploded. Doom. And all day Friday, everybody was, oh, my God, the sky is falling.
Stock markets were going up, going down, going up, yeah. Going down.
Google is saying that what's Brexit, what's the European Union was the top trending thing in the United Kingdom. All of this nonsense, all of this fear-mongering, everybody talking about the end of the world, and what's happened since then? Well, a new week began, and everyone had the weekend to forget, apparently, that Brexit happened, because the Wall Street has actually just had, on the Standard & Poor's 500, the biggest two-day run in 4 months. More than half of the Brexit losses have been erased from U.S. stock markets. All of the Brexit losses have been erased from the FTSE 500, which is England's equivalent of the Standard & Poor's 500. So all of this $3 trillion that disappeared is suddenly finding its way back into the market.
Strange.
Because guess what? The world did not end.
Now, I actually had this conversation last night after softball with one of our mutual friends who, off of his bonds, made $3,000.
Not bad.
So, yeah, some people are making out in this.
I hope he sold those bonds because they're going right back down again.
Right.
That was a flight to quality. And look, I get it. People don't understand how financial markets work. You know, and somebody got the brilliant idea on Friday, oh, let's go look at our 401k statements. You don't do that.
No, that's not a smart idea.
Don't do that, because what you saw on Friday was completely irrational panic, magnified by hedge funds who are looking for any opportunity. They see the market in a panic, they're betting on the panic, and they are causing a lot of these massive moves that you see. Which is one of the reasons why people like Bernie Sanders and myself think there ought to be a lot of limits on what Wall Street can do with things like hedge funds and derivatives. That they are bad for everyday people. Because if you lost money in your 401k, it's not because Britain voted to get out of the European Union. It's because a bunch of greedy people who are placing bets on stock price movements took your money. That's what happened. But let's get back to Brexit.
Well, so as I said, we're going to have a new prime minister September 9th. And, you know, with this new person coming in, there are a lot of questions they have to face and what is going to be the future for Britain.
Boris Johnson, he is the Donald Trump of the United Kingdom. And, well, no, I'm not going to go that far. Boris Johnson is much better educated and much more eloquent than Donald Trump. But there are some very strong similarities personality-wise between the two of them. These are both very large, one might say narcissistic.
That's one way to put it.
Personalities. In both cases, they're both very strong populists. They're both conservative. And they are the kind of people who might become fast friends in the way that Reagan and Thatcher became fast friends in the 1980s. So if Boris Johnson becomes the Prime Minister of England, which we will know about before the U.S. election, that's going to be something to watch for the impact it will have on the U.S. election. Because Hillary Clinton does not have much of a relationship at all with Boris Johnson, neither does Donald Trump. But if you look at these candidates, you can easily see that Donald Trump is a better match for Boris Johnson than Hillary Clinton is. Mm-hmm.
And we need the support of England.
Now.
And vice versa.
Is it a, and I bring this up just in a general sense, and we'll get back on topic with this in a second, but I bring this up in a general sense. We think about World War II. The European Union certainly grew out of that and grew out of fears of populism and nationalism after World War II. It's important to remember that the European Union was created not for its economic benefits, because that wasn't, the European Union is what happened later.
Mm-hmm.
It was originally a steel and coal agreement and then a nuclear energy agreement between countries that became the European Union. And these agreements were signed not for economic benefit, but as a way of encouraging peace between traditionally hostile nations. The belief being, if you have economic cooperation, you de-incentivize war. I, Germany, am not going to go to war with you, France, because a big part of my economy is based on shipping goods back and forth across the border.
It's pretty simple.
That's what it is. Mm-hmm. That's really what it is. The economic benefits of it are secondary.
Well,
but if we go back to World War II, is it a coincidence that we had Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler, Franco, Winston Churchill, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt? Six of the strongest personalities in the history of their nations. Is it a coincidence that we have these six people in positions of power at that point in human history? Or does the ascension of one trigger the ascension of others? And I bring this up because Vladimir Putin, as I have said many times before, is on the level of those leaders.
Oh, absolutely.
He is that sort of a global actor, and he's sort of out on his own in that. Angela Merkel, maybe. I don't think so.
No, I wouldn't put her up there.
I think there's someone stronger waiting in the wings, but Boris Johnson certainly is somebody that you could see going toe-to-toe with Putin. Donald Trump is somebody that you could see going toe-to-toe with Putin. And I think there is a psychological thing that happens with people when they see very strong, dogmatic leaders appearing in other countries. They start looking for strong, dogmatic leaders for their own country as a way of promoting self-defense. So if we see Boris Johnson come in, that's going to be a big tip toward Trump in my book. Just something to keep an eye on.
Well, that's what, there was a lot of conversations going on, and how would the Brexit affect the election here in the United States? And what a lot of people were comparing to was the fact that you had the people kind of standing up, taking a charge for their diplomacy, for, you know, the country that they stood for, and not, and going against a government that was saying, here's all these promises, here's all this, here's all this, here's all this, but you're giving it to all the people that are coming in the country that are not citizens. Sounds very, very familiar of what is going on here in the United States.
It wasn't necessarily about that.
But I can, but I can understand the connection when people are saying, well, it's a little similar to the exact of what the movement of Donald Trump is. No, but I can see that correlation.
There was certainly that element of it, but that's offset by the 13 million immigrants that voted to stay in. Well, I don't know if all of them voted, but there was certainly a large immigrant population in the United Kingdom, a couple of million at least, that voted to remain.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are from Poland, if you are from France, if you are from Germany, and you live in the United Kingdom, you get to vote in the United Kingdom. Those are the rules.
And you can travel freely. You can work freely.
Exactly. Whatever country you live in is the one that you get to vote in.
You know, there were multiple things why Brexit happened, but one of the major reasons was this immigration, and that people could, because you are part of the European Union, if I live in Italy, I can go work in England, and vice versa. You can travel freely. That also, you know, coincides with being able to trade goods very freely. So this is what's happening at this point of where does Britain go? And as you said, the prime minister is going to have to make that choice. Are we going to go in a situation where we can almost call it like the Norway model, where, you know, experts are believing essentially could go in different scenarios. What they call the Norway model is more focused on just the economy, is the most important, where basically Britain stays in the European Economic Area, which is everybody that's in the European Union, but also Liechtenstein, Iceland, and Norway. They pay billions of dollars into the European Union. You can still trade goods freely, but it comes with a catch.
Right.
You still have the immigration and people moving freely throughout your country, which the whole Brexit, I believe, was more so about, and why people voted to leave the European Union. Then we can go to another model, which is more based on immigration. Does Great Britain take the hit, money-wise, with the ups and downs of the market, and understanding that there are going to be massive tariffs placed on goods that are coming from Europe into Britain?
Not necessarily. Not. I think that is one of the great fear-mongering myths.
You don't
that's
think
been floating
so
around
in the short term?
No, because nobody...
Until something is figured out.
No, because as much as there are a lot of angry French and Germans and Italians and Swedes and Belgians,
they still want to sell their goods.
Running around, you know, saying shame on you and telling Nigel Farage to go home and all the rest of this. Their economies suffer more if they lose access to the British market than the British lose if they get shut out of the single market. They are dependent on each other. The idea of the European Union as a tool for peace through economic cooperation is established. And the UK can't pull itself away from that any more than the European Union can pull itself away from
that. Absolutely. We're not talking about a country that doesn't have buying power. I mean, we're talking about one of the largest financial hubs in the entire globe.
They are the second largest economy in Europe. Every business that manufactures goods in Europe wants the United Kingdom as a customer.
Of course.
They represent a large percentage of your shares. Or of your sales. If you suddenly kick them out and say, nope, tariffs, nope, you can't, no, we're not giving you anything, you know, you're going to pay through the nose for this, all those companies are going to see their sales contract by what? 10, 15, 20% recession.
So what you're saying is, even though Britain, if they do decide to go the route of immigration and really focusing on that, they take back using the single market of the European Union, essentially it's not going to affect them much.
It shouldn't affect them at all. But now we get into that.
Do they now create their own market? Well, they do create their own market. Well, but at what do they trade at?
Now we get into this question of how are people actually going to behave in light of this? You know, and already we've seen a lot of bad behavior on the part of people in England who are calling immigrants names. And
hate crimes.
Yeah, and telling immigrants to go home and throwing rocks at immigrants and all the rest of this. Apparently, they believe that the Brexit vote means that they no longer have to be decent human beings, which is 100% not true. Mm-hmm. Anybody who's already in the United Kingdom is going to be allowed to stay. What's at stake is who gets to come in next. This is what they want to control. And to an extent, they want control over their ability to negotiate trade deals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But the single market created by the European Union, the Schengen zone that we like to talk about, was never questioned here. The only question is, in the United Kingdom, how many people are going to let it? And under what circumstances? That's what they wanted to control, and this is the sticking point.
No, and essentially what happened with the Brexit is you had Britain kind of putting their foot down and saying, well, no, and a lot of, you know, experts were using that quote, get out before the sinking ship.
Yeah.
And so many times Britain was running under the rules of what was coming out of Germany with Angela Merkel, what was coming out of Brussels, and every country really had to follow suit. We now have, or what was happening in Greece, and it's still happening, that they are billions of dollars in debt. I believe in the next year you are going to see the same thing happening in Italy.
Yeah. Italy's already drafted a bailout.
So essentially, Britain saying, why am I paying for all of that crap? Why are you making, because we are part of this group, you're giving me all this bad stuff, but what am I gaining from it?
Yes. And this, by the way, is what working class people are saying about governments. worldwide. That is the exact nature of the argument. I see all this money being spent. I see all these new people coming in. I don't see my situation getting any better.
Mm-hmm.
Government, where does your loyalty lie? Are you loyal to me or are you loyal to somebody else? And here's an interesting, and I'm surprised nobody has talked about this, because there was 71% turnout for the Brexit vote. And as I mentioned earlier, if you are an immigrant living in the United Kingdom, you are eligible to vote. There are at least 1 million or 2 million immigrants that voted, and we assume they would all vote to remain because their ability to stay in the country is threatened if they leave. If you take those 2 million votes away, you go from 33 million to 31 million. But you also go from 16 million voting remain to 14 million,
mm-hmm.
and the vote is now 55% to 45%.
Which is so funny to hear everything that was happening after Brexit and saying that people were shocked that they were leaving. Well, no, that's how a vote works. When a vote is in favor of something, that means people came out and voted for it.
But there was also a fair amount of, oh, it's the stupid Northerners and it's the stupid Midlanders.
Of course.
Coming out of the elites in London and people walking around London saying, well, why don't we just leave? Scotland wants to leave. We may have Irish reunification before all is said and
done. That's a whole other...
whoever thought that was... Although, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Gerry Adams is going to play the Irish against the English and get the best deal that he possibly can. I don't know that the animosity, the historical animosity mm-hmm. between those two sides is going to let those two
No, I think before that, you're again. Going to see, you have, what's her name? Nicola Sturgeon.
Yeah.
Out of Scotland. And I mean, if you remember, and if you've listened to the show for a while, we've talked about Scotland trying to leave the United Kingdom. And they voted to remain. They've also been very vocal about wanting to stay with the European Union. So we're going to get into a situation now where we could possibly seeing another referendum vote, which Sturgeon wants to happen, and Scotland could vote again. That is something that could possibly change the political landscape of what's going on in Britain.
I think if
we're talking about policy-wise, in because generally we have Scotland that leans mostly left. Everybody else in England is, for the majority, right of center.
I think I might let Scotland go if I'm the United Kingdom, because Scotland has done a pretty good job of not absorbing the same number of immigrants as Britain has,
mm-hmm.
mainly because the immigrants show up and the Scots are like, there's no jobs here. Like, we no jobs. Mm-hmm. Go away. We don't have anything for you.
Well, I mean, Scotland's in an interesting position, too, because we were talking about, you know, millions of area that has all natural gas in it.
Yeah.
They could sustain themselves.
Perhaps. It depends on who's...
But I mean, they're not tapping into that for years.
Depends on whose geologic report you read. but the broader issue at play here is the point that you brought up, which is all the people who voted to leave have basically... And I was watching the returns as they came in on the BBC last Thursday night, and in every community that they were reporting from, people who hadn't voted in 30 years showed up to vote leave to basically tell the government to get stuffed.
Mm-hmm.
And these were working class people. These were retired people. The millennials, we know, voted overwhelmingly to remain because millennials are young and don't know any better. Okay, you don't have to keep a roof over your head. You don't have responsibilities. You don't have a family. And then they turn around and say, you stole our future from us.
Right.
No, you're still a part of Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Go leave now. Unhappy millennials, get out of the United Kingdom now. Go to France. Go to Germany. Get your residence. You're all set. Go. Get out. You don't know what you're talking about, is what it comes down to.
It's too much thinking.
Because you don't have... No, you don't have the experience... You don't, and but the other thing is everybody freaking out because the internet is largely run by young people who don't have any experience. I spent the better part of the weekend telling people, calm down, stop freaking out about it. The market's going to go back up again. Everything's going to be fine. And that's exactly what's happened in the last few days. Everything is going to be fine. Everything was always going to be fine. There were going to be a lot of suggestible children running around saying the sky is falling, the world is ending, the Brexit has happened, it's all over.
And it's so funny how nobody pays attention until it actually does happen. But there, and then freaks out.
But the thing about it is, there are no changes that happened for 2 years. There are no greater or worse fundamental threats to anybody's economy today than there were a week ago. All that happened is 17 million people voted to tell Europe to take a hike. Largely working class people who were voting to tell their government to take a hike. And this is where globalism has failed. As I've said before, if you cannot communicate the value of what you're doing to the working class people, sooner or later, the working class people are going to rise up and throw you out, which is exactly what happened in the United Kingdom last Thursday. The people who are making money, the people who are on the right side of it, everybody in London, voted to remain. Mm-hmm. Oh, they don't want to rock the boat.
It's easy. Why?
The people that they are making that money on the backs of, the people that they are taking that money away from, all said, we've had enough.
And that's what you're seeing, people waking up in countries. And why are we putting in so much money when we're getting nothing in return? Why are people coming into this country, taking all these, yes, it's great, now we have more workers for these less desirable jobs, but essentially what happens, people lose their job, people lose their homes.
We are in.
They have no money.
We are in the coal mine, the canary is dead, and it is time for somebody to take some action other than digging. Stop digging, beat a retreat, and let's figure out what's really going on here. Globalism can be a good thing. Globalism can work. Globalism, as it is being applied now, where it is basically an excuse for very wealthy corporations to keep down worker wages by outsourcing, by exporting jobs to the cheapest markets, and by flooding marketplaces with low-paid immigrant labor that can be threatened with job loss if they complain or ask for benefits or anything like that, is wrong. That is never going to benefit the working class. You need to make a case to the working class, and you need to prove to the working class that globalism can benefit them, or, like David Cameron, you are going to find yourself looking for a job. It's that simple. This is a moment for change. It is a moment for change in the dialogue. Screaming racism, screaming you're stupid, screaming you don't get it, has failed. That kind of dialogue no longer works because the people who you want to reach never listen to it. They just stayed on the sidelines until they saw their opportunity, and then they came in and chopped your heads off. And they will do it again. 855-915-9636. 855-915-WMFO is the telephone number. On the Tell Mikey D is coming up in just over 10 minutes. Lots and lots of local music to kick off your 4th of July holiday weekend. And also, help you kick that off, Jim Kirk and the TM Singers with a classic from the 1980s that I like to break out at this time of year right here on WMFO Medford.
Say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? Whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming? Thank you.
The eagle is our symbol of freedom. It spreads its wings and flies proudly over the land, defending its home, protecting its young. The Wings of America is the United States Air Force. The Air Force defends our great country and helps keep it strong. And you can help keep the Air Force strong by joining this professional team. If you're a high school graduate, you can learn a technical skill, one to be proud of. Or if you have a college degree, you could be an officer in one of many important career fields. Whatever the assignment, you'll know the satisfaction that comes from doing your part and making the most of your talents. Ask your Air Force recruiter for details. Do it for your country and yourself. The Wings of America can be your wings. Help keep them the strongest and proudest in the world.
I'm Sarah, and this is my story.
I'm Ellen, and this is my story.
One night, I was at a bar. I was having fun with my friends. I had one too many drinks. I got behind the wheel to go home.
I got a cab to go home.
All of a sudden, from out of nowhere, a squirrel ran across the road. It happened so quickly, I barely had time to react.
The cabbie barely had time to react.
I swerved.
The cab swerved.
I can't believe it. I hit a guy.
I cannot believe it. The cabbie just missed a guy.
I wish I took a cab.
Thank goodness I took a cab.
You have the choice to save a life. Don't drive buzzed. It's a decision you'll never regret. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Everything is awesome. Everything is cool when you're part of a team. Everything is awesome when we live in our dream.
WMFO Medford 91.5. This is The Big Picture, and it's What's Hot, our favorite thing from this week. And as always, I talk about food and drinks and all that goodness. Well, my favorite issue of Boston Magazine came out on Sunday. It is the Best of Boston 2016. So that is everything from restaurants and food, shopping. It also includes services, weddings, all that good stuff. But delves into the suburbs. Also, the Cape and the Islands. And actually, my good friends won Best Tacos this year, which is pretty awesome. I texted them. They didn't know. But, you know, so many times I get people that, knowing how much I go out to eat and go to try new bars and restaurants, they'll call me up and say, you know, what is the best, what's the most romantic restaurant in Boston? Well, this is a perfect guide for you to do that. So it's broken down into many, many categories. One of my favorite parts is the different neighborhoods. So Medford is actually included in the Somerville area. Davis Square has its own. But you can go to different neighborhoods, see what is the hottest neighborhood hotspot, bar, restaurant. So definitely check it out. If you're looking for something specific, maybe a new hairstylist, they have everything possible you could ever want, and it is the best in the city.
When next we meet, America will be a year older and will actually be 240 years old. No one's making a big deal out of this. Because usually we get obsessed with like the decades. And this is this year is the 240th birthday of America. And nobody's talking about, hey, it's the big 240th. I guess we're saving that all up for 10 years from now. But if you're looking to do something on Monday, here's a couple of things that don't involve going to the city and standing in line all over the place and fighting massive crowds. You can fight massive crowds in the suburbs where they're a little more manageable. Lexington at Hastings Park, once again, is going to have a giant 4th of July carnival. Chris Orr was there last year. Had a great time at this thing. This starts tomorrow, actually. It's going to be open tomorrow through Monday. And Saturday night after dusk, there's going to be fireworks as well. So you can get up to Fiesta shows. You got your Ferris wheel. You got your giant slide. You got darts you can throw at balloons. And you got fireworks. That's a good time up in Lexington.
Are you going to this?
Fried dough. I might check that out. The other place you can go and check out is Wakefield, where the my hometown now, where the 4th of July parade will be taking place once again. It starts at 5 o'clock and will be making its way up Main Street. This is one of the biggest 4th of July parades in New England.
Mm-hmm.
This parade has been a tradition for years. It is huge. And shh, don't tell anybody because you're not supposed to know about this. But there will be fireworks on Monday night at 9:30 at Wakefield Common. So if you ever walk around Lake Quannapowitt up there in Wakefield.
I was there earlier.
If you know the side of Lake Quannapowitt that has the gazebo on it, the bandstand, that's the side that they shoot the fireworks off from. But you can get a very good view and enjoy the fireworks with a beer up to Lord Wakefield, the other end of the lake.
Mm-hmm.
So Wakefield will be doing fireworks. The parade starts at 5 o'clock.
I was going to say, go in the parking garage. It's one of those companies on the other side, and you can get a pretty high up.
Edgewater. Yeah, yes. You can get up on top of that. Parade begins at 5 o'clock, fireworks at 9:30. A great excuse to spend a day in Wakefield.
As we end the show every week, that's the thing that happened, the craziest story from this week's news. I had to bring it back. Florida. After her repeated demands to have sex were rebuffed, a Florida woman grabbed a hatchet and began beating on a locked door of the bathroom where her beau sought refuge, police reported. According to police, Leslie Mills, 26, returned home Thursday after a night of binge drinking and began berating the victim to, quote, engage in sexual activity with her. The man, who was awoken by the persistent Mills, told cops that he had moved from the home's bedroom to the couch in a bid to escape her. However, Mills followed him to the living room where she climbed on top of the victim, still asking him to have sex with her, according to the police report. And after declining to have sex, the man went into the bathroom where he locked the doors, which Mills responded by pounding on the doors until she successfully opened the door. She opened the bathroom door, and the victim noticed she was carrying a hatchet that had been removed from the living room wall. She's been charged with aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a felony misdemeanor battery charge, freed on $5,000 bond, and is scheduled to be in court July 26. So, when you get a break in the door, just take the hatchet off the wall and break in.
Here's a this may be becoming a disturbing national trend. Seattle. Christian Fisher, 31, entered the Quality Food Center market around 5 p.m. Wednesday. This was the 24th, last week, and proceeded to a self-checkout scanner. He then summoned over a female employee. When the woman approached Fisher, cops noted she saw that his penis was out on the stand. The employee said she reacted with surprise, which caused Fisher to laugh. A male employee said that when he saw his female co-worker reacting to something on the checkout stand, he walked over to see what the issue was. The issue, he told police, was Fisher's penis, which was resting on top of the scanner. The suspect, the report notes, was laughing and did not make any attempts to stow away his blatantly exposed genitalia. Fisher fled the business before cops arrived, but he returned to the market several hours later and was confronted by workers who recognized him from the earlier incident. This is the second time in as many months that someone has placed their junk on the supermarket scanner. Please, please, America,
remove.
Stop the madness.
Yeah.
That is all
remove
the time.
Remove the penis from the, it does not scan. You will not get half off.
That is all the time that we have. Happy 240th birthday, America. Until next week, Lisa Nichols.
Lovely as always.
And I am Derek Gary. Have a safe and sane 4th of July.
I think we got it.